This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
alone are my redemption. Okay, Stephen. Good. Okay, morning, everyone. So I had to give feedback on the first session. Now, when we arrived Friday night, I was so tired because of the driving, and then I had a hectic week. So like, I said to Marichan afterwards, I said to her, you know what, I didn't get to make all the notes, and I was actually so tired, I didn't actually get the whole message. But then luckily, she shared the link with us with all the sessions, and I could listen afterwards again, and I was just reminded again. Now, so the session was done by Dr. Corne Becker, and he comes to show for conference every year. He's from the USA, and he's the head of a seminary in the USA. Now, okay, so basically just, I made a lot of notes, I listened to it, I made a lot of notes, and I just realized that I won't be able to explain everything he said and to summarize it properly. But then what his scripture was about was from Isaiah 6. And then he was explaining, in Isaiah 6, it was God talking to Isaiah, and that was just after King Uzziah, who was the king of Israel at that time. He was a very good king. He was a very skilled king, and he also said like he was a man after God's heart. But then one day, and he was a good warrior, and he had a lot of military inventions, and he was very able. He had a lot of talent and skills. But then one day, he went into the temple and he took up the position of a high priest. So he went in. He went into the holiest of holies, and then he started burning incense, and that was. That was totally, so the priests went in to confront him. It's like only the high priests are allowed in there. And that's the position that God has given them. And then as they confronted him, God's judgment fell on him. And there was a huge earthquake and the temple's roof cracked in two and the sunlight came through, fell on Uzziah. And then he was struck with leprosy. And then for the next 11 years of his life, he was struck with leprosy. He stayed in exile. And when he eventually passed away, he was buried far away from all the other kings. Now, the thing is, this whole action of Uzziah was because of envy, spiritual envy. He couldn't just have what God gave to him. He wanted to have that what the high priest got as well. And then what Dr. Corne Becker said was that and that's a thing that in today's churches is happening. People are envious of each other, but people are envious of each other's ministries, what God are doing in their lives. Churches are envious of each other. So one of the things that he said that struck me so hard was that the original sin was not the sin of pride, it was the sin of envy. Satan wanted to be like God. He wanted to be better than God, actually. And then even before we attended this conference, I actually listened to a podcast from Tim Keller on envy as well. And like I was like, yo, it's like, I need to repent. I'm convicted. So one of the things he said was that the first murder that was committed was because of envy. Cain murdered Abel, his brother, because of spiritual envy. So the most extreme case of envy is wanting God's glory for ourselves. So we actually envy God. We actually want to be like God. We want to be better than God. That's the worst case of envy. And that's what we do on a daily basis. We want to live our lives the way we want to live it. And we want to do our own thing. We want to be independent of God. And that's envy. So one of the scriptures that he referred to was in James 3, verse 16. And it says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." So he said, the most important, nothing is more important than the choice of God. Now the thing is, we all carry a lot of envy in our hearts. But now The question is, how do we get rid of that envy? So he gave us 3 points. How to rid ourselves of envy. So the first point, he said, seek the vision of God. We have to see God where he sits there enthroned. He is the king. He is the Lord of our lives. He is in control. He deserves all the glory and honor. If we see God truly the way he is, where he is enthroned, that's the second point, now, where he is enthroned, we'll be so convicted of our sin. How much we fall short of God's glory and his honor. And so then we will be convinced of how sinful we are. And then how much we are in need of a savior. So if we can see God for who he really is, if we can see him and understand and see who he is there on his throne, in control, and the almighty God, the great I am, we will be convinced of our sins and how far we fall short. And then the third point is that we need to realize that there's only one that can redeem us from our sin. And that is God through his son, Jesus Christ. So this was, in the end, I said to Marichen, you know what? This session was actually the best session. You know, not because I'm talking about it, but it was so in season for me. And it's like, we are so, I think sometimes we become so blunt of, we don't see what's going on in our hearts because we don't ask God what's going on in our hearts. And we just want our own things. We want to be independent. We want to live our own thing. We want to use God just as like as a helper. That's not who he is. He's our king. He's enthroned. He's our ruler. And he deserves all the glory and honor. So next will be Nokobonga.
Hi, everyone. Oh, okay. I'm giving feedback on session 2. That was Saturday morning, and it was Kone Becker again. The title of his sermon was A Future Beyond Imagination. So basically, there've been people in the past who were well-known Christians who have backslided in their faith and have confessed themselves to no longer be followers of Christ. And he was seeking and asking God, how can that be? Because this is like the treasure that we have in the world to be saved, to be in Christ, and to no longer be under the wrath of God. And God revealed to him that it's because Christians, most of us Christians lack an eternal perspective. So what he meant by that was, it's where you when you lay up your treasure on the earth, in the things of the world, then that's where your heart is. And so you find that as Christians, we're looking at the world and we're wanting God to give us a life that will be comfortable. We want to be comfortable here. We want to stay here and stay here forever. But God has meant for us to be eternal beings, and this is only the beginning. So that being rooted in the world leads to failure in our faith. So it leads to us looking at the world instead of looking to God, who he is and what he has prepared for us as his people. And then we fail because obviously the world is broken. The broken world cannot show us a whole God. It cannot reveal to us who God really is. And so this truth, what I've realized when Kone was preaching about this, he would also refer back to hard times in the past when Jesus had come, and he was talking about how this truth of having an eternal perspective keeps us grounded, and it's the kind of truth that will help us to overcome, because tough times are coming for us as Christians. Tough times are coming in the world in general. So one of the things about our faith, contemporary Christianity, is that we don't believe that we should experience hard times. We don't believe that we will experience persecution. And so he shared what Paul said. He said, in one of the scriptures, it says, it has been granted that we believe in Christ and that we also suffer for Christ. It's not something that we usually hear. And then he was talking about how does that eternal perspective come about? Shared a bit about how John came to that perspective. He had been persecuted and was now isolated in the island of Patmos. And in that place of being concerned for the church and praying for the church, he had what you call an unveiling. That's what the word revelation means, revelation in the Bible. It means apocalypse, I think that's some Greek word, but which means unveiling. So he has a revelation. He basically says, Kone says that, the eternal perspective that we need to finish strong in the faith, we gain that by holding on to truths about our real destiny, and that's based on Revelations 21 and chapter 21 and 22, which he didn't have time to go into it, but he shared with us from Revelations 22, verse 5. He shared just 5 points that are some truths that bring about an unveiling so that we can have those truths that we need to finish strong in our faith. So the first point from those 5 verses was that we were created to live forever in the presence of God. So for us to get disappointed by God and to just remain in this life, to get our final perspective on God based on this life, we miss out on that thing that God has for us, that he wants us to live forever in the presence of God. And then secondly, that there's healing for every nation. There's in those verses, 5 verses, there's a tree that they describe that bears fruit in every month. And the leaves of that tree were for the healing of the nations. So there will be healing for us who have gone through difficulties in this life and pain and all kinds of suffering. Then point 3 was that we are loved by God and called to be holy and pure. So as Christians, we must never give up the fight against sin, but we must fight for sin transformation, which is what the gospel comes to give us, and not settle for sin management. So even when you've been struggling for years, maybe you're struggling with smoking or drinking as a Christian, and you've been struggling for years, and eventually you just give up. Kone was just placing emphasis on the fact that it's our promise from God as Christians that we are holy, we will be holy. That we will be holy, and that we should stay on that path of fighting for holiness no matter what, because God himself has promised that he will give us that. The 4th point is his servants will worship him. We as children of God are not only just sons of God, but we are servants of God. We must fear God and worship him reverently. Then the last point was we will reign with the Lord forever. So nothing in this world that we could, all our best dreams and everything that we could ever hope to achieve in this life cannot compare to the things that God has laid for us. He shared, one of the scriptures he shared was in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, that talks about no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the minds of men what God has laid up for his people. So I think the main message to the church would be that it's basically summed up in his title. I think he summed it up well when he was talking about a future beyond imagination. You know, that we mustn't lay up for ourselves as Christians treasures in this life, but we lay them up in heaven, and our hearts must be in heaven so that we will be able to endure through the tough things of this life and finish strong in our faith. And the next person is Stephen, who will be sharing on session 3 by Tom Smith.
Everybody's got good eyesight except me. I have to bring out the big phone. Okay, so this was session number 3. I've rewritten this about 5 times already, and I added some more this morning because So something that's very strange for me is waking up before my alarm clock. I normally wake up about 2 hours after it goes off. But the Lord just woke me up, and I just felt like I had to add a bit to it. So Tom's server message started with the title on the board, which a lot of people had weird looks about. His sermon title was Training Naked with the Friends of Jesus. And it's so he made this whole little thing about how the Romans used to train all naked and stuff. But yeah, so they used to train a lot. And he started talking about our watches, your Apple Watch and your little Garmin watch and stuff like that. And ironically enough, while I was sitting at the back there, my watch vibrated and said, it's time to take a couple of steps. And just how we kind of get into this thing where we train our bodies, because if you just look at media and stuff, there's a lot of trends on being healthy and getting your vitality points because you get something in return. And that's just, to me, how we kind of become enslaved to this kind of thing. So why don't we apply the same training in our faith? Because often we'll go for a run. You'll see the guys on a Friday night at Virgin Active go and they'll scan to get their points for the week so they can get their smoothies. But it's, I woke up late this morning and I didn't read my Bible. Oh, well, it's fine. Move along. So just some things that stood out for me was his first scripture, 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that now is and of what which is to come. So if we just apply the same technique that we do in our health, because if you think about it, if I want to do a 5K run like we do on a Saturday morning on the beachfront most of the times when we wake up early, is you're not going to be able to just get out of bed and do a 5K. You have to start off small. You have to start walking the 5K. Then you start jogging for a minute, walking for a minute, things like that. And eventually, you'll be running that. So that to me was just, so often I wake up in the morning, I'm like, get going. Because I'm going to be late for work. And you kind of just need to train yourself to get into that thing of, okay, right, it's God first, then the rest of my day. It's training, 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 and eventually you'll get there. Then from Hebrews 12, verse 11, For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems sad and painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So it talks about it's not easy. It's never easy. I know from personal experience, the first time I did CrossFit, I did the warm-up, which was about 15 minutes long. I went and I sat in the back corner in the fetal position, and I died. I saw my uncle. He died 3 years ago. I saw him. He was a comrades runner, and he told me to just keep going. Anyway, but that's the thing is, often it's so hard. It's so hard to just get ourselves into that place, the waking up early or going to bed later. I've realized that for me, trying to train myself to wake up in the morning just doesn't work. My body rejects it. But I've now made my appointment with God at night. But I've had to train myself that my normal bedtime is 10 o'clock, but now I need to switch off everything else that I'm doing. I need to finish with the dishes before, so that 9:30 I can be in bed so I can spend that time with God. Okay? Just applies to almost everything in your life. Everything in life is about training. If you want to be the best teacher, you train, you have practical experience with kids, and you sit with them for hours and hours and hours, and you get to know them. Same with being an engineer, is you train and train and train and train. If you want to know God, you have to sit and read the user manual constantly, and that's how you get in tune with God. If you struggle with praying, like I used to struggle a lot with praying, especially out loud, and just start off by praying by yourself, out loud, listening to your own voice. Shower is great for that. Yeah, and that's where it comes with this whole theme of the harvest. If you don't train yourself to listen to other people, you're not going to hear what they're really saying. And we often find that, like I found that now in workplace after convergence, is you listen to what people say, and if you listen carefully, you hear the hurt, you hear the pain, you hear there's a need for something, but they don't know how to express it. So that's just what I got out of there. And then one quote that really, I was sitting there, and it was a couple of quotes, so I just went, oof. You know, those ones that just hit right here. And he said, you know, we've reduced worship to places and events where it's out there. Okay, so we like to be in our own little bubbles. It's time to train, do some squats, do some running, get our faith strong, train with people, because it's always easier to train with people, go to intercession, come to church, invite people to church, talk to people for the first time. You know, when you ask them, how are you doing? How are you really doing? Yeah, this cool little slide with a couple of pictures around. And the one that caught my attention, because it's who I am, is invite people for a braai. Okay? You get to know people so well in a social environment, and then you get to start hearing what is their pains, what's on their hearts, what, and then you can listen to what God wants you to tell them. Okay, so let's all go and train naked. Like they said in the song, Jericho, the walls, it's not just out there, it's in our hearts. We create them for ourselves often. Yeah. Okay, next up we've got Pastor Pilani.
Now I'm Pastor Pilani. hi, everyone. Again, yes. You. Guys, may please excuse me. I'm not used to mic, so just raise your hand if you see me start pointing. Yeah. I think that was an afternoon session by Pastor Hendrik. Yo, that was a hectic one, and an important one for us as a church. I ate almost everything there, but I have two things in a takeaway for you guys, which I think it's very important for us. And the first one, he said something about us, that we as a shofar, we come from different backgrounds and different cultures. But the reason why it's like that, it's because we drink from the same spirit, all of us, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of our, even our economical status. That was very powerful for me. I think it's very important even for us as a church, because I can imagine there are many people, even myself personally, I've tried to invite people, and some will say, no, I can't because of this and that. You guys are a mixed race and that. But it's important because it says something about us. Because we all created by God, and God is calling all of us from our different backgrounds. And the second point, it was talking about the issue. Because a lot of people are frustrated about the things that are happening in our country. You know, there's a lot of things happening. Our economy, a lot of things that is happening that is not right. But what he said, it was very encouraging, because he said, if you look back, there's a lot of revivals that happens during those moments, that immediately on our country or in those countries, when there's a chaos, big revival happens. So he said, there's a big revival that is also coming, even now, the way things are happening. So I felt that is very important for us, because it was more like a confirmation, because there was two sermons. The first one is by Carlos. He was talking about the very same thing, but he was talking about the fact that we are a small church. That is a good moment for us to prepare our hearts, to prepare ourselves for people that are coming, because there are many people that are coming. So to prepare ourselves to lead those people to Christ, because it's not about us. It's not our business, but it's God's business to refer those people to God. And another thing, I think it's a very important issue even for us as a church, because even us as believers, it's easy to be frustrated about things that are happening in our country. But the truth is that every time we hear from the Lord, instead of hearing from the world, what is happening, what does that mean? Because it's easy to get a definition of the things that are happening from media. You know, when there's an issue of xenophobia, it's easy to listen to the media to define that event for us. But I think it's important for us as a church to always ask God when things are happening. Because it's a sad part that we are very selective when it comes to hearing from God. There are things that we trust ourselves, that, no, I will figure this out. I don't need God on this one. Or on that one, no, it's hectic for me, or I've tried everything, but it's not working out. Then I'll go and hear from God. And even when we go to God, we are very impatient. So you wait in prayer for 5 minutes, and then after that, you're like, no, God is not saying anything, so I'm going to go for this option. So I think that is very important for us as a church. There are many things that Pastor Henrik touched on, but I feel that those two points are very important for us as a church. Because on that one, he also shared about the story of George Mueller, if I'm not mistaken. That he also did the very same thing. He started an organization, if I'm not mistaken, where a lot of people came to Christ. But the situation was not nice out there. But it was a good moment for people to come to Christ, you know. But it needs someone whose eyes is fixed on Jesus. Because if our eyes are glued to media, to social media and to televisions, then we're going to be frustrated as well. And we're gonna even lose our calling or miss our calling. It's easy to be frustrated if you focus on media. But if you focus your eyes, you glue your eyes to Jesus, you become clear about things. Something horrible will happen, but God will just tell you that, no, it's nothing. And people will look at you and be confused that you are so calm, but there's a storm. If you remember those stories where Jesus' disciples were worried about the storm, but Jesus was like, what's wrong with you guys? Because I've done things in front of you. So it's the same thing, that the storms that are happening right now, it shouldn't frustrate us. But instead, we should ask God, what's happening now? What does that mean? And what am I supposed to do in this? So, yeah. So I'll pass it to Pastor Pumla. Pastor Pumla Mhlanga. Sorry, Puma. I was also.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, so I'm sharing on the fifth session. on Rick Russo. So, guys. So, guys, imagine this. Imagine you're going through some tough times and, like, nothing is going right. Everything's just wrong. People are praying on your behalf. And then God is like, let me just wait here for 2 days. And then, but then I know that all of these things that are happening, they won't kill you. It's for my glory. So, yeah, everyone has a story and they're all different. They're not the same. And there are some of God's stories that he's counting on us writing. And, yeah, okay, so Pastor Rick, he read Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. So that's basically about by faith you've been saved. Okay, guys, you can go and read that because of time. So, yeah, okay, it's hard and all of that. So God is counting on us to write, is counting on us on some of his stories. And then the story of Lazarus, I'm sure some of you, okay, most of you guys know. Who doesn't know the story? Who? Spelele. Okay, I'll tell you in our house. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm joking. So the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha. And then as he was sick, they prayed to, they told God that his loved one is sick. But God stayed for 2 days, and then he said, okay, and then now I'll go. And then when he went, Lazarus was already dead. So everyone wept and all of that. And then Jesus was deeply moved in spirit. And then he asked that they should show him where they laid him. So they led him to his tomb. And then God asked that they move the stone. So they did, and then he called out to Lazarus to wake up. And then, yeah, there are things that are keeping us from a better story that God wants to write on, out of us. It can be fear, it can be disappointment, it can be doubt, death, it can be darkness. So most of the times we are disappointed because God doesn't do what we want him to do. He's doing everything according to his plans. And then, even holding back, we shouldn't hold back sometimes. So, yeah. Fear, doubts, disappointments, death, darkness. Only God can take away all of those things. It's only him, because God wants to write a better story out of us. And then, I mean, how can he not take away all of those things, because he wants something good for us? So God as a church is inviting all of us to do what we can do so he can do what he can only do. God is inviting all of us to move some stones out of people's lives. And he's giving us a chance. We can't save anyone, but he's giving us a chance to move some stones out of people's lives. And yeah, until we have a better story, guys, we can't help anyone to find their stories. It's not about us, it's about God. He wants us to help others find better stories. And then as I was praying for this, Galatians 6 verse 9. Okay, but it's about, okay. Can I grab my Bible? So Galatians 6 from, okay, yeah, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I feel like God is saying to us as a church, you shouldn't give up. Let us keep on fighting, and then, yeah, eventually, our stories, yeah, okay, thank you.
Wow, that was crazy. Thank you so much for everyone sharing. Great. Let's close our eyes as we end off in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you are always faithful to speak to us. We are actually just in awe this morning, Father, that you never fail. You're so good, Lord, and we as a church can just come and say, be exalted, Lord. Be exalted, Father. Thank you for your grace, and thank you, Lord, that you come and meet us just where we are at. And Father, thank you, Lord, that you also come and remove lies from us today. I feel there's so many of us that feel so unworthy this morning, that feel like we don't belong, that feel like, how can I ever get to that place where Jesus will love me? But Father, we break those lies this morning in Jesus' name, and we declare that, Father, your truth, your love, come and wash over us. And that truth and that love never fails, Father. You say the trees will fail, the grass will fail, but my word will endure forever. So thank you, Lord, this morning we hold on to your word. We hold on to your word, and we say there's nothing that compares to your word. Lord, I pray that in this week that you come and bring your word, that you give us a desire for your word, that you help us, Lord, to get stuck in your word, to your word, the Bible, but also your prophetic word, to also what you're speaking of us. I pray, Lord, fill us with boldness. Fill us with your spirit, Lord, to do your will. Thank you, Lord, that you give us new courage, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you help us to endure, that you help us, Lord, to see, and especially that you help us to hear what you are saying, Lord. Lord, I feel there's people especially today that just feel a bit tired. They just feel a bit tired. But Father, I pray that you come and refresh, Lord. I pray that you come and restore. I pray, Lord, that you come and break stuff in our hearts that have been keeping you out. There's some of us, Lord, that we haven't seeked you like we should have. Lord, we haven't been in that secret place, Lord, like we had a few years ago or maybe last month or whatever. But Father, you say you want to break those walls again this morning, that again we get into that secret place, Lord, with you. And I pray and I feel, Lord, that you are calling us back this morning to that secret place. And Lord, at first it might be hard for us, but thank you, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit helps us. You help us. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes for us to see again. Help us to see Durban as you see it, Lord. Help us to see people as you see it. Help us to see ourselves as you see us, Lord. And this not for our glory, Lord, but for your glory. For you to be exalted and glorified, because you said your glory will fill this earth, and we believe it. And Lord, we want to shout hallelujah when that happens, and not be people, Lord, who is condemned, Lord, and forsaken and in the fire forever, Lord. We wanna be with you. So thank you, Jesus, that you speak to us, and thank you that you do a new thing in our midst, in our hearts, Lord. We praise you, Lord, because this is all about you. And all God's people say, Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.